this evening, I wanted to just talk to you about that verse that we have in Romans 12. And Dad already quoted that for us, but it's good for us to open our Bibles. In the front of your books, these books that you have, the first page, the very first page, in the middle of the page, it gives us the theme that we've taken as a staff, which is kept for the master's use. Kept for the master's use. After Frances Abigail had written her poem, Take My Life and Let It Be, she considered another aspect of that, and that was being kept for the master's use. Kept. She realized that she was unable to keep herself. We've had this theme before us. Jesus, keep me. Keep me for yourself. And in Romans 12, verse 1, who has it? Someone, stand up and read it for us, nice and loud. Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Amen. What did Sister Aletha say about the will of God? Sister Aletha is the lady in the back there, if you didn't know. But I know that you all know her. What did Sister Aletha say about the will of God? This is a test. Come, beloved, we need to hear. What did she say?
Yes.
If you really want to know God's will, God will tell you. It's not hard for you to find the will of God for your life. If you really want to know God's will, God will show you. And here in Romans 12:1, we have, a little pattern of how we are able to discern, how are we able to know, how we are able to prove God's will for our lives. How is it? Well, it begins, I think you read offer. Is that the word it says there? Offer yourselves. Now, what's the blank here that you're going to fill in? Right here. What's the first one? What is it?
Present.
The P. It's a present, right? It's present. It's to offer. It's to yield yourself. It's to say to God, take me. Just what we sang. Take me. I give myself to you. Take me. Take my life. Take my moments. I present myself to you. I yield myself to you. And as was read, it's our reasonable service. It's our spiritual act of worship. It's the only thing that makes sense in light of God's mercy. It's the thing that cries out for us to do. The mercies of God were the theme for my song. I could never number them all. But for mercy so great, what return can I make? I'll love Him. I'll serve Him. I'll give myself. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Take me, Lord. Take me. And so we present ourselves to God. We yield ourselves to God. Now, if you just turn back a little bit in Romans, you come to the 6th chapter. Romans 6. There it also has that word of offering and yielding and presenting ourselves. And actually that word is the same. The word that we have in the 12th chapter for present is the same word as yield that we have in the 6th chapter. Now what are we to yield to God? What is it that we're to present to Him, to give over to Him? What is it? Well, in verse 13, it says, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves," or present yourselves unto God, "as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Now, when it says instruments, what's it talking about? Or your members. What are your members? Your hands, your feet, your voice, your lips, the things that we've sung about, the things that we've been reading about in our devotional. These are the things that we offer, that we yield to God for His use. My mom last night talked about the composition of man, right? The body, soul, and spirit. The essence of our existence. Body, soul, and spirit. But it's true, God touches us in our spirit. His work is in our spirit. But it shows itself in our bodies. These bodies are His. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. And so when you hit that volleyball on the beach, you have to hit it for God. And He gets the glory. We yield ourselves to God. But it's a very practical thing. You know, today we read about our feet, and one of the thoughts was our feet are very, you know, they're not very pretty. Anybody have pretty feet? Maybe you think you do. And that's okay. My little girl has pretty feet. Audrey, oh, she's got pretty feet. So does Katie. David, well, that's another story. But how is it that our feet are beautiful? How is it that our feet can be beautiful? It says, "Swift and beautiful for thee." How do you think that applies? What do you think? You're a thinker, I know that. Daniel, what do you think? Huh? Is there a verse in the Bible that talks about that? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that publish good tidings. Oh, well, we're on God's errands. Our feet are beautiful for Him. Now, did you do any of God's errands today? Did you use your feet for God's errands? I think all of us have. Well, I know the workers have. Mm-hmm. Right? Some of us, we use our feet to go to the palace. To go to the beach. But you worked for the Lord today, and your feet took you in ways to show forth His glory, to serve Him. And He wants it to be that way all the time. All the time. And, you know, the application is, well, where do my feet take me? Where do my feet take me? Last night we talked about the hands and the different things we do with our hands. What do my hands do? Well, where do my feet take me? Do they take me to places that God would have me be? Or do they take me places where I shouldn't be as a Christian? Do your feet take you to places where you're going to be tempted to sin? Or do they take you to places that steer you away from temptation? Take my feet, Lord. You see, and that's the negative side of it, right? Keep me away from temptation. But the Lord would like to send you to be a blessing. Now, my dad mentioned a young lady named Diane. And I don't mean to talk about her, but just because Dad mentioned her, I'll just tell you a little bit more. Diane is studying to be a doctor. You think she has a lot of time? She has zero time, basically. Zero time for herself. But the time that she's able to have on Sundays, you know what? I think she should stay home and relax. Or go home, or go to the beach, right? That would be a good thing to do. It's my only day off. It's the only little time that I have. And sometimes she doesn't even have all of Sunday. But the time that she has, she uses her feet to press the pedal of the gas on the car. but figuratively, she uses her feet to go and pick up children. And it's not an easy thing. They're not up on Sunday mornings, many of them. You have to call ahead to wake them up. And then when you get there, they're not ready. And they haven't eaten breakfast. And so on the way to church, you have to stop and buy them something to eat. Or you have to wait in front of the house until they come down. Anyway, well, why don't you leave them, you know? Well, if I leave them, or if we leave them, then they're not going to get to church. Because their parents aren't going to send them. Swift and beautiful for thee. And so it's a good checkup, isn't it? Where do my feet take me? What do I use my feet for? Do I use my feet to serve the Lord by serving others? Or do I just run and do my own thing? And so we're to yield ourselves to who? To God. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion. Sin shall not be your master. Because you are not under law, but under grace. And so, we want to yield ourselves. We want to give ourselves to God. There's a verse in Timothy that Paul, in writing to Timothy, he said to him this, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I put my trust in, and I know that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I just want you to get this picture of we want the Lord to keep us, don't we? I think you feel like when you leave camp, I know some of you testify this way, you say, when I go home, I want God to keep the work that he's begun in me, right? We feel God's presence here. We feel that we've made progress in the things of God. You know, maybe not a lot of progress, but we've made progress. God has done something for us. And we say, Lord, I want you to keep that. I want you to keep my mind. I want you to keep my heart. I want you to keep my love. I want you to keep my hands serving you. I want you to keep my feet. And I think that many of you have that desire. I want to be kept for the Master's use. Right, Sarah? You have that desire.
All right.
Yes. Well, I don't know if I can illustrate it a little bit, but this is a very precious vase to me. Now, I'm not going to drop it. Anyway. And you could think of this maybe as my heart or my life. It's really precious. And I asked James to be God tonight. So James, stand up. And I think it's a great idea. I really do. That God keeps my life. And that God keeps my moments. And that God keeps my days. I think it's a great. I think it's wonderful. Who better to keep it? Can you think of anybody better than God to keep my life, to keep my moments? And so, James, I mean, God, will you keep this, my life? It's very precious. Will you keep it?
Well, give it to me.
But it's really important to me.
Well, give it to me.
Would you? You know, I think it's a really great idea that God keeps it. What do you think?
Yeah.
You want to keep it for me? You promise that you'll keep it for me?
Give it to me.
What do you mean, give it to you?
Give it to me.
I have to give it to you?
Yes.
But I don't know. It's really mine.
Give it to me.
Now, what's wrong with this picture? What was that?
I was 3 seconds.
Oh, okay. What should I be doing? I should be giving. Can he keep it?
Yes.
But he can't keep it if I keep it.
No.
Right? Right. So that's why the first step in all of this is say, Lord, take. You see? That has to take place first.
Let go.
Wait, I'm not done yet. but this is the way we are. You're right.
You know, this is the way we are.
Okay, I'll let you have it, God.
Now he can keep it. But as long as I have it, God can't keep it. Do you understand that? And so if we desire to be kept by God, we first have to give. We first have to say, Lord, take me. Take me. And Dad has said, thank you, James. Mm-hmm.
God has said, take. Dad has said to us, take me as I am. A wonderful prayer. Make me what I ought to be. Maybe we could add to that, keep me, Lord Jesus. Just for yourself. Just for yourself. And so I just want you to have that picture, that understanding in your mind that God can only keep what we give. And tonight the Lord has called us and he's calling and saying, I want you to give yourself to me. I want all of you. I want each one of you to come before me and say, take me, Lord. Take my hands. Take my feet. Take my voice. Take my love. Take my will. Take myself. So tonight as we go to prayer, I would just ask that you would consider these things. Again, before the Lord. You see, you have to make the personal application. You have to say, Lord, are there things that I'm holding back from you? Are there things that I'm not ready to yield to you? Are there things that I'm not ready to present to you? And if we hold back things, then we're not going to find God's will. The secret to finding God's will is really to present ourselves to God, first of all. Now, Ariel, I'm going to close with this. Ariel testified this morning, and after the service this morning, she said, here's the book, read it for yourself. And I just want to remind you what she said. She said there was a man, a young man who wanted to give himself to God. And so he went to the church, and he locked the door behind him. And he said, God, I just want to give you my life. I want to consecrate my life to you. And then he took out a piece of paper and he wrote down all of the things that he was going to do for God. And then he prayed some more and he thought he had some more things to write. And he wrote them down. And you know what he did at the bottom? He signed his name and he dated it. And you know what? He still didn't feel peace in his heart. He still felt something was wrong. He still felt that God hadn't, you know, confirmed anything to him or made him feel that consecration was complete. And then he prayed some more. And as Ariel told us, then the Lord spoke to him and said, you know what? Take that paper and crumple it up and throw it away. So he did it. And then he felt the Lord impressed him to do this. Now just take out a blank sheet of paper and sign the bottom. And I'll fill out the rest. I'll let you know what I want you to do. You just give yourself to me. You sign on the dotted line. You sign your life away, as it were. And let me take care of the rest. Maybe I could say that to you tonight. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to truly surrender your all to the Lord? To present yourself fully, completely to him. Lord, take me. Lord, take me. Lord, take me. And then, Lord, keep me. I know that you are able to keep me. I'd like us to take our hymn books and sing together that precious song of surrender. I surrender all, consecration. It's number 362. You know that little illustration I did with James? Did God take it from me? I mean, like, did he grab it out of my hands?
No.
No.
God won't do that. God will not take it out of your hands. He wants you to give it to Him because you trust Him and you love Him. It's the same thing. The song starts that way. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely, freely, freely give. Now maybe you ought to look at the words before we sing. Look at the words of this song. Read them to yourself. Now, is there anything that you feel you cannot sing? Honestly. Or is this your desire? Oh, Jesus, Jesus. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, yourselves, a living sacrifice. Lord, you look down upon us tonight. You know our hearts. You know the desire that we have toward you. You know the love that we have for you. And I just pray that you would meet each one right where we are. Right where we are in our experience with you, Lord. Lord, there may be some here that have walked with you for 60, 70 years. And there may be some who have just begun. But Lord, you come and you meet us right where we are. You make the word that was spoken tonight real to our hearts, to each one of us, Lord. Lord, you always call us to a fuller surrender, to a deeper consecration. And so, Lord, we want to bow before you tonight. We want to bow before your word. And we want you to take us. And to keep us. And so I pray as we sing this hymn, that it would come from our hearts. Give us the grace to sing it honestly and truthfully before you. Lord, we're not able. But Lord, by your grace, we would give ourselves to you tonight afresh so that you would have your way. That you would fill out the blank page, as it were. That you would be glorified in each of our lives. That your will would be done. That good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now maybe it would be good if we went to our knees and if you can, if you're able, and sing this hymn from our knees as our prayer, as our desire. And it's between you and the Lord. From your heart. And be serious with him. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You love us, Lord. You love us, and we can trust you.